Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Begin reading with verse 28. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that it is already anointed. It's already inspired. And God, I ask that you would anoint me, Lord, as I endeavor to preach this message, Lord, that you help me to deliver it to your people, just as you delivered it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a passage of scripture that has been preached on many, 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 many times. I've heard this message preached or this passage preached on, and so have you. I've probably preached on this passage of scripture myself. But hopefully tonight I will be able to shed a little bit of a different light on this passage. Typically what happens when somebody asks you to preach is the day that you are supposed to preach becomes closer and closer and closer, and you either have nothing and you're like, okay, God, 3 hours, and I'm supposed to be behind that pulpit, and you got to give me something. It's either that way, or it is, I've got 3 or 4 messages, and I can't figure out which one that God wants me to bring. And that was my situation this time. I had 3 or 4 different thoughts running through my head, and yesterday afternoon, I came over and spent some time over in the ER room, just praying and seeking God. And I believe this is the message that he has for us. And I do hope that I'm able to bring about just a little bit of a different view on this as we get into it. But it starts out with an invitation as well as a command. Come. Come to me. It's an invitation, but it's also a command. And Jesus is specifically calling out to those who have been working hard and carrying a heavy load. Anybody relate? Amen. So regardless tonight, whether you are weary from spiritual labor, working in ministry, teaching, preaching, any other form of ministry, whether you're exhausted and tired from spiritual labor or from just the physical, mental, and emotional encounters that we have every day, the invitation and the command are still the same. Come to me. Come to me. The lives that we live today are so exhausting. We exhaust ourselves. We work at our jobs. We work overtime trying to make ends meet. We work through relationships, we deal with rejection, we deal with problems in relationships that become troubled and rocky. We try to make the best decisions that we know how to make, the best that we can for our family. And we become exhausted and we sit down to read the Word of God or to spend some time in prayer, and our mind immediately goes to that thing that has us stressed out. Or we get quiet before God and we start trying to pray, or we start trying to read a little bit in the Word, and we start hearing those words that person spoke to us that cut us so deep and hurt us so deeply. Or we're thinking about all of those things that we have to do, the bill, that unexpected bill that came in, that now we don't know how we're going to be able to make ends meet this month. We get before God and we purpose in our heart that we're going to read this thing, read the Word. And the next thing we know, we're waking ourselves up snoring, because we are so tired and we are so exhausted. And I know this isn't just me. Anybody else ever fall asleep while you're praying? Anybody else ever fall asleep while you're reading the Word? come to me. When you get to that place where you're emotionally, mentally, physically exhausted, it's going to affect your spiritual life. Why do you think that the devil works so hard in every area of your life? It is to get you to a place to where you are lame and crippled spiritually, to where you're exhausted spiritually. Society would have us to believe that the more we multitask, the more important we are. It would have us to believe that the thinner we can stretch ourselves, the more valuable we are. And we tend to agree with that often and fall into that same line of belief. Pride would have us to believe that the more things that we can carry of our own and the more things of everybody else that we can carry, the stronger we are. Not just carrying my own burdens, but I'm going to carry yours, and I'm going to carry yours, and I'm going to carry yours. Strong enough to do that. But what we don't understand and what we don't realize is that whenever we start carrying all of these things, we become so exhausted spiritually that we're no good to ourselves or anybody else. And that is exactly the way Satan plans it. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us, those things that trip us up, but we're over here loading up with everybody's problems and weighing ourselves down with all of these situations that we just need to really be handing over to God in the first place. Galatians 6:2 tells us that we are to carry each other's burdens, but if you go down, we're to carry our own burden, but if you go down, 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and 6:5, it tells us that we should each carry our own load. And that's not controversy. That's not, you know, going against itself when it says that. We have to understand that we do have responsibilities. We are responsible for ourselves, and there are times that we are responsible to others for certain things. But we cannot allow those things to weigh us down to the point that our relationship with God suffers. We cannot neglect that thing that God has called us to carry. But if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves hauling things around that God never intended for us to carry. We're going to carry around cares and problems and situations that God never intended for us to carry. And sometimes we try to operate in a calling and an anointing that God did not give us. We try to operate outside of the calling and the anointing that He's placed upon our lives. And when we do that, we become exhausted. Right. We become tired. We become weary. Sometimes our tender heart toward others wears us out. The enemy, if y'all have ever heard me teach or preach very much, you will hear me talking about how the enemy a lot of times likes to twist your gift and use it against you. Maybe you have a tender heart and in your heart you're wanting to give to other people. But because you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're meeting everybody else's needs, now you're left with nothing but exhaustion. It's easy to get caught up in all of the day-to-day things that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And we reach out and we pour out and we give out to everyone around us. Mm-hmm. And then we end up so given out that we can't even sit at the feet of Jesus and let Him pour into us.
Right.
We're just too tired. Too exhausted. We have too many things going on that we need to deal with. We work so hard to be everything for everyone. And we lose track and forget exactly what it is that God expects from us. See, this was going on back there in the book of Matthew. With the law of the Pharisees, at this time, there was a massive load and heavy burden of works and righteousness and legalism laid on the backs of the people. They sat around and did nothing at times but make up more laws and make up more rules for people to follow. They added hundreds and hundreds of rules to the and regulations to the Mosaic Law. Bible scholars, like this blew my mind, Bible scholars say that the Pharisees added over 600 regulations regarding working on the Sabbath day. On that topic alone, 600 regulations that they added to that, and the people tried to live by that. Can you imagine how exhausting that would be? Just trying to keep up with what the law is today and what the rule is today? 600 just on working on the Sabbath. So this was in Matthew 23. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for the heavy burdens that they were laying on people. And this was why, this was part of the reason that he gave the call, come to me. Come to me. And this is why he said, take my yoke upon you. Know what I require of you. Know what work I have for you to do. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Most of you tonight probably know what a yoke is. I wish I had one to show you. But for those who don't know, a yoke is a wooden collar that is placed on an animal so that the owner can control it. A farmer would, a lot of times, he would yoke two animals together. And those animals, as they work together, they could do more than just one animal could do. And a lot of times he would take the younger animal, they still do this today, they take the younger animal and they yoke it to a bigger, stronger animal. And while the bigger, stronger animal is bearing the weight of the load, the younger animal is learning to work under that yoke. This is a lot like mentorship in the church today. The younger one is not carrying as much of the load, but he's learning to work under the yoke. So he would pull them both together, and he would tighten that yoke upon them. And once the animal learned to work with that yoke, the farmer could easily control where the animal went and what the animal did. The farmer would stand with his, this is the part that I hope to shed some light. The farmer would yoke two oxen together, and he would stand with the oxen on his right hand. And he would lead them by his movements, by using a goad or a stick, not a goat, a goad or a stick, similar to this. Went digging around today over there, Macy and Kyle's and Dave's puppet closet, and I found a stick. And this would have been something that they, similar to this, that they would have used, but the farmer would put them on his right hand. He would control them by his movements, by using the stick, or by his voice. Now, it was interesting to me that the oxen were placed at the farmer's right hand. In the Bible, being at the right hand of God signifies what? It's a special place of honor. Being at the right hand of God is a special place of honor. And the right hand of God, anytime you're reading scripture and it refers to the right hand of God, it's talking about the power of God. He upheld him with his right arm of righteousness. He upheld them with his right arm of power.
Yeah.
So whenever I started studying this yoke stuff out, and I found out that the oxen are at the right of the farmer or the master, where does that put you and I whenever we come under that yoke of God? And when Jesus says come, and we come and we stop and we allow him to put that yoke on us, we are at the right hand in that place of honor. In that place of honor by his strong and mighty hand. In Psalm chapter 63 verse 8, David was in the wilderness and he cried out. And he said, my soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. Again, we hear David. We hear David again in Psalm 138, verse 7. He says, he stretched out his right hand against David's enemies. In Psalm 139, 10, again we see David crying out and acknowledging the right hand of God with strength to uphold him. And when we come to Jesus and we begin to walk and work under his yoke, we can be sure and we can stand in confidence that he is near and that we are at his right hand. And his right hand of power, his right hand of strength holds us up and keeps us close. The right hand of God. I want to do a little illustration tonight. Brother Steve, can you help me? Come on up. Shane, why don't you come on up too? These are my ox. Here. Brother Steve, you're going to be Brutus. Yeah. And Shay's going to be Brutus Jr. Now, they did not know I was going to call them up here, so we had to practice this, okay? And this will probably be easier down on the floor, but we're going to stay up here. So they didn't know this until just now. So I don't really know what I'm doing, and neither do they. But I hope that by the time we're finished here, we'll have just a little bit of an idea of that privilege of being under the yoke at God's right hand. So as the farmer, guess what? Hold on up here just a little bit. As the farmer stands there, one of the things that he controls them with is his body, his movements. Okay, think about this spiritually, okay? Now, as he is standing next to the oxen, if he wants the oxen to move left, and he can make them sidestep to the left by just pushing just a little, and they will push to the left, They'll do exactly what the master commands them to do, and they'll move left. If he wants them to sidestep to the right, he'll move this way, and they will obey, and they will come back to the left. And they've learned this. And that little guy down there, Junior, may not know what all of this means yet, but if he'll stay hooked, and if he's still hooked to Brutus here, to the one that has been under the yoke for a long time, and the one that knows how to follow that leading, Junior over there is going to learn something. And if Brutus here will stay hooked up to the master, to the farmer, he's not going to make any moves that he shouldn't be making. Because he's got that connection with the farmer. He's got that connection with his master that he has learned under. All right? Are y'all getting this? Are y'all getting this? Okay. That's good. As we serve God and we follow his lead, we're not going to make any wrong moves. Another thing that the farmer used, good thing I like these guys, was a stick. And if he wanted those oxen to move forward, he would touch them on the back. You can move forward a little bit, and they would both go together. If he wanted them to stop, he would touch them in the front, and they would stop. Or he can even make them move back. He can take a step back, and they're following. They know what that nudge means. They know whenever they get that touch on the back that they're supposed to go forward. They know when they get that touch on the front that they're supposed to stop or they're supposed to move back. And they've learned that. And Junior over there learns by being hooked up to Brutus. I just want to throw this in here. Men and women of God, don't ever shirk your responsibility as a mentor to those that are younger than you and weaker in the faith. That's part of being under the yoke of Jesus, being that mentor, letting Junior hook up to you, follow you and learn from you. Amen. Come on. These oxen, they learn what that nudge means. If you've been around here any time at all, you've heard us talk about living by the nudge. Being so sensitive to God that all he has to do is just give that little touch and we know immediately that was God. Just give that nudge and okay, we're moving. We're moving, but as soon as he stops moving, we stop. This is part of being under that yoke. This is part of being under the yoke. And he also used his voice to lead them. Stand back. Guess I should have got my stick out. When he would say, when the farmer says, haw, some of y'all may know this, they turn to the left. So, haw, they turn to the left and they walk to the left. And then when he says, gee, they turn to the right and they walk to the right. They listen. They know what haw means. They know what gee means. And when he takes that and he sticks it out in front of them, he knows to stop. No, I'm not. I've never had oxen. And I've never put a yoke on anything. But if we'll be yoked together with Jesus, if we will allow him to put that yoke on us, and it may take us a while, but we're going to learn that nudge. And we're going to learn what that stick means. We're going to learn that as the master walks, I walk. When the master stops, I stop. We're going to learn that when he says to the left, to the right, but until he says left, I'm going to go straight. Until he says right, I'm going to go straight. Amen. Folks, we've got to get under that yoke. We've got to be yoked to Jesus. We've got to that call that he's given us, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the oxen are close enough to that master, to that farmer, that he doesn't have to scream at them. Gee, and they turn right. Ha, and they turn. He doesn't have to beat them with his staff. He just barely has to touch them. And they know exactly what he's talking about. You guys can go ahead and go sit down. Thank you. I was amazed as I watched videos of this yesterday, how submissive these oxen are to the farmer, to their master. They were so submissive. That farmer, as he began to put that yoke, that collar underneath, and then as he began to put that big, heavy yoke over him and tighten it and put the pin in, he would take that oxen's head and he would turn it over and he would turn it around, and the ox just let him do it. He didn't fight. He didn't pull back. He let him turn his head. He was completely submissive to his master.
Yes.
This is one of those times where I feel like I could have given this message to somebody else and you would have done a better job with it than I have tonight. I'm just being honest with you. I do not feel like I have done this justice, but what I do want you to understand is get yoked to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Learn the nudge of Jesus Christ. Learn the voice. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow.
Yes.
Learn his movement, that you begin to feel that moving in your spirit and that stirring in your spirit, and you know that your spirit is lined up with his spirit, and you are not making the mistakes that you used to make. You're not sinning the way you used to sin. You're not saying those things that you used to say because you're hearing what he says.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It will change your life when we become submissive to God and we stand still and let him hook us up. Let him put that yoke on us. Man, I was watching them, and those oxen, they did not fight at all. And you could tell that they had that yoke on them before. You could tell that they trusted that farmer. They trusted that master.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid tonight that we don't trust God enough sometimes to allow Him to put that yoke on us. We don't trust Him enough sometimes when He says, come, the invitation, the command. We just sit there and we look at Him because we don't know. We don't truly trust God. We have all kinds of things running through our heads and all these reasons why we can't come to God, why we cannot totally submit to Him. What if He makes me do this or if He makes me go there? Then He'll go with you.
Lord, we trust you.
Then He'll go with you. Brother Chris, would you all come, please? Stand, if you will. If we would allow... If we would allow Jesus to place His yoke upon us and teach us and lead us, we would learn exactly what He expects from us and exactly what He requires of us. And we wouldn't be so worn down all the time trying to figure it all out ourselves and trying to do our own thing in our own strength. Well, I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried that. Yeah, but have you tried yoking yourself to Jesus? Well, I did this and I did that. Well, okay, I understand that. But have you tried yoking yourself to Jesus? Have you tried pulling close? Here we are, a bunch of dumb oxen that God has called and He's pulled us close to Him to a place of honor and we don't even appreciate it. He's pulled us to that close place of honor, that close to His right side, where we can see and sense His movement, where we can feel His nudge, where we can hear His voice and be strengthened by His hand, and we just sit there twiddling our thumbs. Shame on us. Just stand still and allow God to place His yoke upon you. You'll be so much more productive in every way, and you'll be able to find rest in Him. See, we are yoked to work and to submit. That's why they yoke the oxen, so that they will submit to them and do the work that's needed to be done. We have to be meek and humble and submissive for that to work out right. This is why we need to heed that call, come unto me. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Yes, there is a yoke. But the Dave and I were talking earlier, there is a yoke. You're not just going to kick back in a recliner and float away on a rosy bed of ease. It doesn't work that way. There is still a yoke. But He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because of His right arm. Because we are at His right hand. And He strengthens us. And He helps us because we're yoked together with Him. And He's helping you pull the load. Come unto me. That's probably the easiest command that we will find in His word. But many people have refused it over and over and over again. And some will leave here tonight having refused it again. As He calls, come unto me. I know some of y'all are tired. I know some of y'all are weary. I know some of y'all are facing trials and troubles that I don't want to face. I don't take that lightly at all. Some of y'all are going through some stuff. And He says, come unto me. And this is an invitation with promise. And this is a command with promise. What's the promise? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. This is not a rest that you can get by kicking back on the beach. Much as I'd love to be there right now. This is a rest that you can only find when you're in the presence of God. And when the Holy Spirit is working in you and working through you, God knows your body has limitations. He knows your body has to be rested and replenished and restored. And there is a rest and there is a strength that can only come from being in the presence of God. And that call goes out tonight. Come unto me. All of you who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on in around the altars tonight and pray. Find some time. I'm just telling you tonight, church. Sometimes we need strength right now to get us through what we're going to face tomorrow. Sometimes we need strength right now to get us through what we're going to face next week. Those things that we don't even know that we're going to be facing.